Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they didn't know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they didn't submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.
Remembrance Sunday today is a reminder, isn't it? The world is not right. I mean, if someone asks you tomorrow morning, what is God doing in the world? What is God about? What would you say? What is God's mission? What is he up to? This year is the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. 6 years of war between 1939, 1945, the deadliest conflict in history. An estimated 75 to 85 million people dead. 59 million of those civilians. And if we look at a big picture of that, we'd say, well, the big picture is that the World War II was about salvation from Nazi ideology that slaughtered 6 million Jews because, well, they were Jews. But then within the whole picture of the war, there are many, many thousands of individual salvation stories. In terms of film, Saving Private Ryan is a classic, is it, if you've seen that. An intense, epic drama, World War II, set in 1944, based on kind of real-life stories of the kind of things that happened. This elite unit of U.S. soldiers, they're sent on a fatal mission deep behind enemy lines to save one paratrooper because he'd lost all of his brothers, and they wanted to save one of them for his mother. It's a moving story, a salvation mission that involved huge sacrifice. Today, there is a global war that's raging, and it's a war that's raging for the hearts and the minds of humanity. What is God's mission? Here's God's mission. God's mission is salvation. It's about saving people. He sent his son deep behind enemy lines into our world to save. And Romans 10 here talks about God's mission of salvation. We need to just orientate ourselves in this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. So we come in a point here where the Apostle Paul is Here's a question. And his question is, why is it that so, he was a Jew? How is it that so many of his fellow Jews were rejecting the good news of Jesus and Gentiles, non-Jews, were accepting it? That is his issue here. And he gives two perspectives. In chapter 9, he talks about God's election, the fact that God chooses to save people. God is sovereign over who he saves. But then in chapter 10, he takes a different perspective and he says, well, it's also about human faith and unbelief. And that is what we're looking at this morning. So four things about God's salvation mission. And here's our first one this morning. As we reset this morning, God's mission is about Jesus, not religion. And maybe you've thought those two things go together. Well, kind of, but actually not, as we'll see now. Have a look at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites, as his fellow people, is that they might be saved. For I can testify about them, they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. So, look, here's misplaced religious zeal. How is that? Look at verse 3. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, we need to back up here a tiny bit, because Paul has been explaining in the whole of this letter to the Romans that God's righteousness, the way for sinful people to be made right with God, only happens through faith in Jesus, his sacrifice for our sins, for our forgiveness. But the thing is, the Apostle Paul's fellow Israelites, well, they were trying to get right with God by kind of improving their lives, by keeping laws in the Old Testament. But look at verse 5, what Paul says about that. He says, Christ is the culmination, the one that it all points to, is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So look, the whole of the first part of your Bible, the Old Testament, it points to and is fulfilled in and is intended to lead us to faith in Jesus Christ. That is Paul's point there. So as we kind of reset this morning and look at God's mission, we need to know that it's all about Jesus alone. It's not about trusting in our religious and good deeds to get right with God. And maybe that comes as a shock to you this morning, I don't know. Why is it like that? Okay, I need two volunteers who are prepared to come to the front and jump as high as they can from a standing jump. Okay, I've got a couple of volunteers. And I think Austin and Aaron, I think you have first hands up. Come and join me at the front. There's quite a lot at stake here, okay? So come and stand up on the stage. And here's what's going to work. So we're going to see, it's got to be a standing jump, okay? So you can't run up, partly because there's not much room to run. But we're going to see who can jump the highest from a standing jump. And I need someone who's kind of, Nick, you've got a good line of sight there, I think. I'm going to see better. Yeah, okay, you can see who's jumping the highest. Now, what I should say to you is that I have...
I know,
it's good. This is really good. I have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 100 pounds here, okay? I have 100 pounds in cash. And it is yours,
really,
if you can jump high enough. Okay?
How high is high enough?
Well, that's a good question. How high is high? I'm going to tell you afterwards, okay? Okay, so let's do it. You ready, Nick? Okay, so should we do both together? Okay, so after three. 1, 2, 3. Ooh, it's close. Again? Oh, he's going to keep doing this, you know. He's going to keep doing this. Go on, and again. After three. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so I think it's Aaron, but I have to say, he's starting with about a centimetre advantage anyway.
Okay, very good. Well done. Okay, but it's probably Aaron, but.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, what is high enough? Okay.
Well,
high enough on this competition is you had to jump to the moon. I realize we have a slight problem with the ceilings in the way, but I think that's probably the least of your problems, isn't it? I'm afraid you don't, because high enough was the moon, okay? Let's give him a round of applause. I do feel mildly guilty, actually, being quite so mean. Here's my point, though. Okay, so Aaron may have jumped fractionally higher than Austin, although Austin, I think, would argue against that. But let's run with that. But the thing is, both of them were hopelessly short of the standard. So let's just kind of translate that to morality. So imagine we had Hitler on stage this morning. In terms of morality, how high does he get? He might get a millimeter high. In terms of your morality, you might get a meter high. The problem is, it's both woefully short of the standard. And our problem is that God is infinitely good. He cannot tolerate sin. And for us to be acceptable for him, the standard is perfection. It's like trying to jump to the moon, which is a very, very long way. So whether we're jumping in terms of our good deeds, our religious deeds, a millimeter or a meter, all of us are thousands of miles, hundreds of thousands of miles off the standard. And that is the problem. We can never reach God's perfect standards. So if you're trusting in your religious deeds, your good deeds, if you think it's just good people that get into God's heaven, you're trying to establish your own righteousness, as Paul says in verse 3, then you're going to fail. But verse 4 says there is a righteousness, there is a way to get right with God for those who believe in Jesus. And that's our next point here this morning. It's about simple faith in Jesus. It's about simple faith in Jesus. Look at verse 5. Moses writes, and in the Old Testament law, Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. It's simply saying, look, if we're going to get right with God, we've got to be obedient. We've got to live a perfect life. The problem with that is that it's just too hard for us. And so the laws in the Old Testament were always intended to show us our need of Jesus, that we fall short. And Paul goes on here to quote Moses. Moses is preaching to the Israelites at the end of Moses' life. And in Deuteronomy, an Old Testament book, chapter 30, he says, what I'm commanding you today, it's not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. And Paul applies that to faith in Jesus. Look at verse 6. And this is just beautifully simple. The righteousness that is by faith says, don't say in your heart, who's going to ascend to heaven? That's to bring Christ down. Or who's going to descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. I said that was beautifully simple. Let me explain it, because it is a bit confusing, isn't it? Look, the apostle's point, Paul's point here is, to be right with God through faith in Jesus, it is not beyond us. It's within our reach. And here's how. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who was infinitely good and holy, he came down from heaven. And he was raised from the dead. That's what Paul's saying here. And now he is accessible to everyone. Everyone. So in a confusing and a broken world, God has made himself so clear about how to be saved. So clear. So look, what is God's word to you and me this morning about this message of salvation? It's there in verse 8. You haven't got to look far for it. Paul says, this word is near you. It's not difficult. It's right here. It's in your mouth, in your heart. That is the message concerning faith we proclaim. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's there black and white in your Bible. For it is with your heart, verse 10, that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Can you see that God's salvation is not about religious and good deeds or being brought up in a Christian home or going to church? Look, if that was the case, if we could get right with God on our own effort, why did Jesus come? Why was the cross so horrific? It would be totally unnecessary if you could get right with God by your good and religious deeds. But it is impossible to get right with God on your own efforts. It's like trying to jump to the moon. It's that hopeless. But saving faith is about believing in your heart the good news about Jesus, that Jesus was sent behind enemy lines, conquered your sin at the cross, paid the price for your sin at the cross, through his resurrection, gives you hope, eternal life. There he suffered your deserved hell and rescues you, saves you from it. So it's believing that in your heart, and then it's openly professing that faith. It's coming out as a Christian. It's expressing, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. It's repenting of trying to be God in God's world. And it's obeying him. It's going, here's the Bible. I'm going to obey the Bible. This is God's word. It's openly professing faith in being baptized. We've got a baptistry that Vicky is sitting on top of there this morning. We'd love to open that up. That is about professing your faith in Jesus Christ, getting baptized, and saying he's Lord of my life. Can you see that salvation here, it's about the whole person. It's an inward change that gets expressed outwardly. So how about verse 9 for you this morning? Look at verse 9. Are you doing that this morning? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And maybe that just seems too simple. And I think when we think that, it's because there's pride in our hearts. We want something that's a bit more clever for us. Or maybe this morning you're thinking, I'm just too sinful. I'm too sinful for God. And in a weird way, that can be, the heart of that can be pride as well. So I'm kind of too bad for God to save. You know, I need a special attention. Look at the promise of verse 11. Again, it's so simple. Look at verse 11. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew, that's religious people, and Gentile, irreligious people. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the good news of Jesus is the most inclusive reality in the whole of our world. It invites everyone, irrespective of who they are. And it says, come as you are. It also says, don't stay as you are. It's about transformation into the image of God. So as we do this reset and look at God's mission this morning, here's what becoming a Christian is all about. It's not complicated. It's to grasp. I wonder if you've grasped it today. Simply going, I'm sinful. I need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. I'm going to trust in him alone. I'm going to give my life to him, the Lord of my life. I wonder if that's you today. That is the call of the gospel. It's really, really simple. Faith in Jesus. Will you do verse 13 and call on the name of the Lord and be saved? For all eternity, you will never, ever regret it. And if that's you this morning, why not come and chat afterwards? I'd love to talk about how you put your faith in Christ. Do it today. Calling on the name of the Lord and being saved is not beyond any of us, but look, there is a logical chain of events that must happen for anyone to do that. And the Apostle Paul works backwards. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? Oh, can you see that? Those questions, they build on each other. And this is not a rhetorical question. What's the answer to every one of those questions? Want to give a shot at that? Anyone? What's the answer to each of those questions in verse 14 and 15? They can't. So let's do some responsive kind of reading here. I'm going to ask the question, and I want you to shout out, they can't. Let's get it into our minds. So here's the first question. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?
No.
Yeah. And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard?
No.
And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
No.
And how can anyone preach unless they're sent?
No.
And so, end of verse 15, there's a wonderful reality there. Paul says, quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And here's our third thing here this morning. Salvation, God's mission, comes from beautiful feet. Paul is quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah there in end of verse 15. And in that context, God's exiled people had been told, reminded, God reigns and you can return home. This was good news. And God's salvation today is about return from the exile from God that our sinfulness causes. The good news brings us home, invites us home to God who reigns, calling on his name in faith for salvation in Jesus. So if you're a Christian here this morning, think about your story. How did it happen? How did you come to faith? Well, you only called on Jesus to save you because you came to believe in your heart that he's God and Savior. But you only believe that because you heard and understood about Jesus. And you only heard because someone preached, someone explained it to you. And they only preached and explained it to you because God sent them into your life. This is really exciting. Let's kind of flip it around. The logic of here is brilliant in verse 14 and 15. So if you're a Christian, let's work this backwards, okay? Verse 15, God has sent you into many people's lives. Think of your families, think of your neighborhood, think of your workplace, think of your school, think of your friendship groups. Verse 14, why? To preach or to share about Jesus. I wonder if you're ready to do that. Can you explain the gospel simply? One of the things we try and do in Learning for Life, can I encourage you to come to those on Sunday mornings? We're trying to help us as a church family speak into our culture well and be trained to do that well. 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. But are you ready to do that? So that, verse 14, people hear about Jesus. Most people think they know what Jesus is all about, what Christianity is all about. Most people are shocked to hear it's not about living a good life to get to heaven. It's just not. It's about trusting in Jesus alone. So people need to hear about him. And then it's so that, verse 14, they might believe Jesus, his life, death, his resurrection, and the call for repentance and faith in Jesus alone. And actually then, verse 14, call on him for salvation. It becomes personal. It's not just have to know about Jesus. And so Paul quotes Isaiah to say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let me ask you a really weird question. How do you rate your feet? How do you rate your feet? I mean, on a kind of a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of the most beautiful part of your body, 1 to 10, you don't have to say what you think. But feet are weird things, aren't they? They get smelly. They can get verrucas and corns. They go funny shapes. You know, they're strange things, feet. But a Christian's feet can be beautiful feet. How is that? And this is so profoundly simple, it's easy to miss. Here's why. Your feet are how you get from A to B. So how you get from A to B. It's how you bridge the gap between you and other people to tell them the good news about people, the people that are in your life, about Jesus, the people in your life. You have to walk over to them and speak to them. The Apostle Paul was famous for doing this. Here's a picture of his journey, his third mission trip to make Jesus known. Now, we may not go on a mission trip like that, but as we reset here this morning, if we're to reach out, both as a church and as individuals, be part of this process of salvation in people's lives, well, here's where it starts, with our feet, putting one foot in front of another, pressing forward, walking across the room, and speaking to people about Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, that he reigns, that he's coming again. And this is about walking across the room, walking across barriers that there are, whether that be age or race or status or social barriers. Everyone needs Jesus. It's about what we do with our lives, what we do on our social media, what we do with our time, is praying with a friend or a colleague, is sharing your how you became a Christian to a neighbor, is inviting a family member to maybe a curry night that's coming up at the start of November or other events. As a church, it's about how do we reach out to our community? How do we use this space, this building, to reach out with to our community? It's maybe inviting a neighbor or a friend to try church Sunday in a couple of weeks or to one of our Christmas events in December. Where will your feet take you this week? Where will they take you this week? Let them be beautiful feet, talking to others about Jesus. Let God send you to the people in your life this week. Be open to how he'll use you. You are where you are, exactly where you are, for a reason. And maybe over time, some may come to faith, come to believe. And it's personal to them. They call on the name of the Lord and are saved for all eternity. As we finish this morning, but maybe our last point, maybe you feel like giving up because so few people in your life seem interested in Jesus. And I want us to remember this morning, there is nothing new in that at all. Here's our last thing. When it comes to God's mission, it is rejected by many people. So as we kind of reset this morning with God's mission, this is helpful in setting our expectations right. And to be reminded this, that heartache and tension is normal Christian living. If you don't feel that, there is something wrong with your spirituality as a Christian. You should feel that tension. Paul did here. Look at verse 16. He returns to his burden over his fellow Israelites, not believing the good news of Jesus, not accepting it. And he says in verse 16, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For, and then he quotes way, way back to the 8th century BC, Isaiah says, Isaiah found this, Lord, who's believed our message? No one's believing. That was Isaiah's feeling. Verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And so Paul muses here on why. Why the unbelief? He says in verse 18, I asked, did they not hear? Well, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Verse 19, again I asked, did Israel not understand? Well, just pause on that one, because when Jesus walked Palestine, his fellow Jews had front row seats to God's salvation in the flesh. They saw Jesus. They of all people should have understood, but they were unbelieving. And so Paul quotes Moses again in verse 19 to explain actually God's loving plan. Really interesting here. Look at verse 19. What's going on there is God's going, I'm going to give faith to the Gentiles, non-Jews, so as to provoke Israel to faith. God is using FOMO here, fear of missing out. Look at verse 19. I'll make you envious by those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who didn't seek me. I revealed myself to those who didn't ask for me. But there's still hope. What is God doing in verse 21? Look at verse 21. God's holding out his hands continually. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And look, because God does that, well, then we, his church, should do that, shouldn't we? Even where people disobey God's word, are obstinate, turning away, not wanting to take Jesus personally, daily hold out the word of the life, of life and of salvation. Go with beautiful feet, walk across the room, call to simple faith in Jesus. Faith that's about abandoning hope in our good deeds, our religious deeds, and trusting alone in him for salvation. Here's God's mission this morning. This is what God is up to. This is what God's doing. As we heard earlier, on the cross, Jesus, it's a battle he was facing. It's the war to end all wars against sin and death and hell. And we can share his victory as we put our faith in him. So as we reset, here's God's mission, it's salvation. Let our mission be his mission.